Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for listening to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Well, tonight we have a very special guest with us by the name of Laura. Laura and I met at a craft show where I was doing some as a vendor and also signing books, my paranormal books, and that was a very, very good show for that. And Laura and I have some very interesting connections regarding her experiences with the paranormal and my ability to actually understand some of the things that she's been actually experiencing and going through. And so I hope that you enjoy this interview this evening and give it an opportunity to just really think about some of the things that are said and not jump to judgment as quickly as you think you might. Because what I find is when I sit and I really think about some of the things that we talked about, especially after the show is over, I can honestly tell you that sometimes things are not as far-fetched as they may sound. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really glad to be talking with you this evening because when I met you recently, I found you to be very, very fascinating, and I think the audience is going to find you fascinating as well. It's not every day that I am able to speak with individuals who have a number of experiences, but unique experiences, and that's why I feel that this show is really going to be interesting to our listeners. So, without further ado, I think I'm just going to start her out here and just ask you a general question. So Laura and I had been talking about gifts and abilities and stuff like that. And as you've heard in my introduction, she even has at times the ability to have visions, which come and go throughout. You know, there's nothing that necessarily sets off this ability other than the fact that sometimes the conditions are just simply right. So it's not like she can do this at all times. So don't write me and ask me to, have her visualize anything for you, because basically in a nutshell, she's got a gift that only activates under certain conditions. But so Laura, when would you say that you first started noticing that you had an unusual ability to be able to either visualize or pick up on things? What age do you think you were?
I believe I was 10.
10, okay. Can you give us an example or an experience that happened during that time that kind of made you feel like, okay, not everybody seems to be having this ability? What did you experience?
I experienced finishing other people's sentences and teddy bears jumping off bunk beds.
Teddy bears were jumping off bunk beds? Okay,
when I slept over.
So when you slept over at people's houses, teddy bears were jumping off of people's bunk beds?
Yes, the one I brought to sleep with would jump off the bed, and I would hear it jump off the bed, and it scared me.
Oh, that's interesting. So what do you think, you know, not every day do people have objects just jumping off the bed. So this was your personal object, right?
Yes.
Okay, and where did you get this object from? People want to know that.
I got it from my mom and dad. It was like a big stuffed Beanie Baby.
Okay. And when you, were you holding this object a lot so your energy would go into this object?
I was sleeping with it at night, but then I would let go of it, and I don't know if it would jump off the bed by itself or if it was for me tossing and turning.
Okay. And so when it jumped off, how did it jump off? Did it just...
I never saw it. It was that fast.
It was that fast. Okay. So that's interesting. Okay, let me ask you a little bit. We'll go back to that one in a second, because when we get into objects that have or retain a lot of energy, that would probably be good to jump back in at that time. So you noticed that you were able at the age of 10 to finish other people's sentences. Were these friends, or were they just anybody? Well, what did you notice?
I noticed that it would happen with only like my best friend.
Okay, keep going. And
that whenever we got together, weird things would happen.
Okay, like, can you say...
Like the teddy bear is jumping off the bed.
Okay. All right. And so was this only when you were with this particular person?
Yes.
Okay. So not necessarily happening all the time, just when you were with this person, right?
Right.
Okay. So when this was happening to you, what were you thinking as a 10-year-old? This is weird or this is...
I was thinking, this is scary.
Okay. Keep going. And what did your friend think?
My friend basically said nothing and wasn't even in the room at the time.
Okay. And so when you're finishing each other's sentences, then what did she think? Same thing?
Honestly, I don't know what she thought because we had the same thoughts.
Oh, you had the same thoughts. One of the things about, so how long did you know this friend before you noticed this happening?
I've known her for over a year.
Okay. So would you say that it was because you knew her that well that you could finish her sentence? Or was it stuff that was just kind of unusual that you were saying that just kind of popped out?
I think it's from knowing her after a while.
Okay. And then basically your connection with each other grew stronger. Would you not agree to that?
I would agree.
Okay. So one thing that we know, especially those that connect really well with people, I can relate to the finishing of sentences, and I can also relate to the connection with people where sometimes you don't have to say anything at all. You can just sit there and look at them and you know exactly what they're thinking. Would you agree to that?
Yes. Yep. I actually read somebody's mind today at work.
Oh, you did? Okay. Is it G-rated?
Without even trying.
So, was it a good thing or a bad thing? Don't even say what it was in case, but just to protect both of you. But so, how did you know that you read this person's mind at work?
Because I guessed what they wanted for lunch, and I got it right after I said, do you want a burger? And he goes, yes, I want a cheddar cheeseburger. And I thought he was going to get the special, but then I'm like, no, that's not right.
And so basically that's how you knew, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, sometimes, now, how did you know this person for a long time so you could guess what their food preferences was?
Actually, I didn't.
Oh, so this is just kind of out of the blue, right?
Yes.
Okay, so today is one of those days where your energy is probably more heightened. That's what we're getting at here. And would you not agree with me that sometimes when we connect with people or even people we even meet for the first time that some of us can just establish that, I'm not going to say brain connection, but that connection relatively fast. Would you agree to that?
I would.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about your ability. And so you're at a young age, you were able to start finishing each other's sentences, but with people that you probably had a really strong energy connection with. And then all of a sudden you also had this interesting situation where your teddy bear was kind of, doing something that most people's teddy bears don't do. But I think that that's interesting regarding the collection of it, of your energy or your energies together. So let's put that one on the fence just for a moment. That's kind of interesting. So over time, your abilities would come and go, right?
Yes.
And so you were telling me a little bit about having some visions here. Can you tell me when you thought you first started having these visions, when you were around certain people or just people in general? Well, when did that start?
I believe it started at the age of 10 also.
Okay. And what kinds of things would you see or notice?
Well, my mom would have me predict if my dad would get his Snelling Company job. And she had me look at an envelope, and I guessed that he would get his job, and that was correct.
Okay. But don't you think that that's a 50-50 guess and that you had a 50-50 chance, or do you not think that that had anything to do with it?
I think I just had a lucky guess, okay. But I'm not entirely sure.
All right. So that vision then moves into something else, right?
Yes.
Okay. What other vision? Now you're telling me some other visions that you had. What other visions did you have?
Yes. When I was 10, I was sleeping in my room, and I had a vision of an evil little 10-year-old girl with a bonnet.
Okay.
And she told me, like, in a vision that she liked to start fires.
Okay. All right.
And I also believe one night she tried to choke me in my bed.
Okay. And did you say that this vision of this little girl, now did you ever actually, you saw her in your mind, but did you actually ever see her physically in your room?
No, thank goodness.
Yeah. And I think you were telling me a little bit about the fact that there was a picture hanging on your wall of a little girl with a bonnet on it. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay. Was that the girl?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Now, some people would say, oh, that's just your imagination rolling wild and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. It's just because you've got a visual of something hanging on the wall, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But there was actually a little bit more to it than that. This is why this stands out as being very unique. How many occurrences did you have with this little girl before, or this vision before you finally kind of put a stop to it?
Well, it took me a couple of years, and then I figured out she was playing with my DVD player and just random objects in my room.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get across to our audience here, that this isn't just one of these moments that occur or suffering from anxiety. These things led to other occurrences that were happening in the room. Like the DVD player, what did she like to do with that?
She liked to turn it on and open it.
Okay, all right. And that went on by itself, right?
Yes.
And when that first happened and you saw that, what was your reaction to that?
I was scared, and then I had a vision of who was doing it.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about this little girl in the bonnet. Would you be able to even guess the time of period? I mean, not everyone runs around in a bonnet these days, so of course you're probably going back to an earlier time. But were you able to, like, see facial features, color of hair, color of dress, type of dress, anything like that?
All I know is she had white skin and brown hair.
Okay. And a bonnet. What color was the bonnet?
And a bonnet. The bonnet was white and pink.
Oh, okay. So you could see that. Okay. And did it match the girl in the picture on the wall?
Yes.
Okay. So when she's playing with your DVD player, and of course that thing's going in, coming out and all that, do you think that the DVD player had any kind of malfunction?
I don't believe so, but every year I have to buy a new one and then the problem's fixed.
Okay, all right. Well, one of the things I can back you up on this is that you're not the first person who talks about electronics being tampered with. I know a number of people who have had their DVD players tampered with. I know that the thing opens up, and sometimes it opens up and closes and opens up and closes. And so that's, electronics is a big thing with paranormal because obviously it has a form of electricity and they connect with that really well. But it's a real, kind of a real drag when you have to turn around and if they're, did she break it or did you just have to go and simply buy a new one all the time?
She didn't break it. She just kept annoying me to the point where I couldn't sleep.
Okay. Oh, was this happening while you were sleeping or in your waking hours?
While I was asleep.
Okay, so, or half asleep because you could hear it, right?
Right, and it would scare me because I'm like, who's in my room?
Okay, right, exactly. So we have a little girl running around in your room that, and one of the things we'll talk about again is that picture. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I want to, okay, what other things did this little gal do in your room? Did she ever touch you?
I don't know for sure.
Well, the choking, are you sure that was her choking you?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay, right, because sometimes you just, well, and you can't always tell. I mean, have I been choked in the past? Yes, I have. Was I able to feel the hands around my neck? Yes, I could. Did they feel like little kid hands? No, they were not. Did they feel like average size hands? Yes, they were. So I could at least get it down to that much, and it was not sleep paralysis, and I can back that up. So, of course, people would wonder if you were having sleep paralysis, and Laura and I had talked about this, and basically, how many times have you been, you were only choked once or twice, and then that was pretty much it, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so was I, and I've never had it ever since, and have you ever had it since?
No.
Okay. So we have this annoying picture that's in your room that somehow has some kind of energy attached to it that seems to be manifesting something in your room. And you and I had kind of talked a little bit about the history of your house. How old was your house at the time, or is?
20 to 30.
Okay. And of course, everyone should know that you can have a haunted brand new house or not a haunted very old house. It just depends on what kind of energy either exists in there or what kind of circumstances existed in there. And I don't think you know too much about the history of your house, right?
All I know is that it used to be an old dump site.
Oh, really?
That's what
kind of
freaked me out.
Oh, that's, well, I think that's interesting. Now the question is, what's underneath your house? That's my question, you know.
I honestly don't know what's underneath, but I am curious.
I know. I was going to say, if your house is sitting on top of an old dump site, can you imagine what is underneath your house? Oh, boy. Well, no wonder you're having weird things going on in there. And they're blaming it on, well, you don't have the picture anymore. I think you had it removed, right?
Yes, it's no longer in my room, but I kind of sense that it's in the house somewhere, okay. But I don't know where.
Okay. Well, you haven't had any more visions of that little girl for a while, right? Or did that kind of end that?
That ended after we got rid of the picture.
Okay.
And my room stopped acting weird.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at. So one of the things that I had on one of my previous shows, quite a while ago, is we talked about haunted objects. And a lot of times it's not the object itself that's haunted. A lot of times it's the energy that's on the object that, depending on where it came from, depending on the circumstances, depending on the emotion that could be essentially attached to it, this is why I find it very interesting how you get a picture, you're young, it gets put on your wall, and all of a sudden, these things are happening. I mean, granted, you're looking at the picture, so people would naturally think that you're just visualizing the little girl, you know, in the picture because you're looking at the picture. But you had other occurrences. You had the DVD open up. You had the possibility of something messing with you that may not have been or may have been sleep paralysis, but I think it was not from the way you described it. So that, I find that to be real interesting. So since all of this has been removed and stuff, do you find your house to be relatively peaceful? Relatively.
Well, last night I heard footsteps at like 1 in the morning.
Okay.
In our hallway.
In your hallway? Okay. So.
And then I heard like a garage door, but I think it might have been my neighbor coming home because he works nights, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So, the footsteps, let's talk a little bit about that. Did they sound loud, masculine, feminine, like a little child? What would you pinpoint that to be?
It sounded like an adult footstep.
Okay. And which direction were these footsteps going? Towards your room, away from your room,
I think they're going both ways.
Okay, back and forth, like pacing in the hallway?
Yeah, kind of like what I do when I'm on the phone, but I don't know why they'd want to mimic me.
Well, because you're probably the most sensitive in your house. So, but the thing, so they were actually mimicking like how you are when you're actually on the phone. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's what I think they were doing, but I'm not entirely sure.
Interesting. But you, other than the fact that you know you live on a dump site, which I find interesting, very interesting, boy, I wonder, you know, you never know. I mean, people are building buildings everywhere, even way back when, in situations that probably to this day they would not be allowed to. So you never know what's that. And it could be a portal down, you know, of some sort leading into your house, too. You could be over some kind of a portal. So since you've been in your house, though, have you ever been able to isolate, other than the little girl, and now you heard these kind of these masculine footsteps, anything else, or has it been a relatively peaceful house?
Other than the noises and other stuff going on, I haven't had any other occurrences.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, one of the things I wanted to talk about where you have these visions that come up from time to time. And again, I need to emphasize to the audience that she does not have these come up all the time. It seems like when the conditions are right, then it's something inside of you starts to activate. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, when I have visions, it kind of, I think it formulates from my past, from when I was a kid.
All right.
Because I noticed that's when it's strongest.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely sure how it all works, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
Okay. Now, there's something that you're telling me when we met about a friend of yours in church, and you had a vision. I think it's safe to say what you saw, if you feel comfortable telling us about that.
Yes, I do, actually. The person was hurting and sad, and I asked her if she would like a hug, and I gave her a hug. And I had a vision that her dad either passed away or was dead.
Okay. But did you ever find out whether or not that happened? Or did you ever find out if that truly happened?
No, I didn't. I was too afraid to ask her because I didn't want to make her cry even more.
Okay. All right. But she was crying, right? So something was bothering
her.
Okay. And then when you saw this vision, how do these visions come to you? I mean, do they come in a flash, or how do they come to you?
They just came really fast, and then they went away really fast.
Yeah. Yep. Do sometimes people like, there are popular people on TV that have certain things happen to them, so they cue them into different things when they have their visions. And so I would say they kind of, whoosh through your mind really quickly rather than anything. Do you think that that's about right?
Yes. I also have another experience that I haven't told you about yet that happened at church in the prayer room.
Okay, go ahead.
I was praying for a foreign gal for protection from the evil one, if you get what my drift.
Yeah.
And basically, when I was praying, it felt like I couldn't breathe, and the benches were shaking.
Oh, interesting. So,
and I thought I was going to get thrown on the wall.
Oh, interesting. And this was in your church?
Yes.
And so you're in there praying, and then all of a sudden the bench, you were sitting on the bench, right?
I was kneeling.
Oh, you were kneeling. Okay, all right. So you're kneeling on the bench, and then all of a sudden it started to shake.
Yes.
And were you the only one in there at the time?
No, somebody else was with me.
Okay. Did they notice the bench was also shaking?
I don't believe so.
All right. So Were you on the same bench together or are you on different benches?
On different benches.
Oh, okay, that's probably why. I was trying to put a connection here with being on the same bench or being on different benches, but under your knees. Now, of course, someone's going to ask me the question, well, are you sure she wasn't just trembling or having some kind of anxiety? How did the bench feel? Was it underneath your knees?
Yes.
Okay, so was it definitely not an anxiety thing, and it was definitely the bench moving? What would you say?
It definitely was not anxiety, because I felt like a powerful thing going on.
Okay. And then how long did it last for?
I didn't know. Honestly, I don't know, because I'm really bad with time.
Sometimes it lasts for what, maybe 10 seconds?
It felt like an hour to me.
No, I was going to say, but it feels like an hour. See, you just pulled that out of my head. I just said those words in my head, but it probably felt like an hour, and you just pulled
Sorry.
Them out. No, that's okay. I think that... Yeah, I was going
to
say, sometimes when people are on the same wavelength and stuff, it's very easy, like we said, to be able to pull it right out of it. And I've only met her. I should tell everybody, I have only met Laura for probably a total of 15 minutes when I met her at the craft show, and I was doing book signings and stuff like that at my booth, and we didn't speak that long, and I've never met her before, but that's exactly what I was thinking 2 seconds ago, unless someone would say, oh, that's a common thought to say after 10 seconds, and it's possible that that could be true, but the thing is that what we're trying to establish here is whether or not it's possible for two energies to connect together so well that you don't even have to speak sometimes. It just comes out very naturally, and that's what I'm trying to establish. There was one situation you were telling me about, sleeping. Did you say you were having most of your visions when you sleep? I can't remember. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I do. Most of my visions are when I sleep, but some are very rare during the day.
Oh, you have some during the day too?
Yes.
So when you sleep, though, as we all know, we all have dreams. Now everyone's going to jump in and go, oh, she's just talking about a dream that she had. I suppose you should clarify, does the vision that you have come true? You know, you visualize, let's say, a really bad car accident down at a certain intersection. You wake up and you go, oh, geez, and then you forget completely about it, and then you go about your business, and then all of a sudden, there's a car crash at an intersection. Is that the type of vision we're talking about here?
Yes, sometimes they do come true, other times they don't.
Well, let's hope that the ones that don't were bad to begin with so that they didn't manifest. But the ones that do come true, do they take you back and startle you because you thought to yourself, I just thought that? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, they do kind of scare me.
Yeah. Well, and I used to have, be able to predict things that came off the television, but the difference is that usually it was when I've never heard or seen the show before, and I would say statements or whatever, or predict what they were going to do next, and it's a completely, sometimes human behavior is very predictable, but when you're sleeping and dreaming this stuff, it's not always the case. And so, I mean, it does startle a person when it happens, because you're wondering, how on earth did I make such a strong connection all of a sudden? You know what I mean? So, oh, here's one. I want you to tell a little bit about this being pushed around in the front yard. I thought that was, she mentioned this to me before the show, and when we were kind of talking about this, and this is kind of interesting, because my last guest, Diana, talked about an experience out in the yard, and I believe someone at the craft show
talked about something that happened to them as well. So, Laura, you were out in the front yard and you were pushed. What can you explain, tell people about that a little bit?
Yes, I was being pushed very hard to the ground, and every time I got up, I'd get pushed down even harder each time.
Okay. How old were you when this happened?
I was 10.
So a lot of this happened with you. A lot of this happened with you at the age of 10, around that area. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So when you got pushed down and then pushed down again, what were you thinking at the time?
I was thinking, am I doing this to myself, or is my friend that's with me thinking I'm crazy? Because we were outside playing at the time.
Okay. And then where were you when you got pushed down?
I was in the front yard by the street.
By the street? Okay.
Yeah.
And someone would say, well, did you trip? Did she accidentally trip? You weren't tripped. You're pushed from behind, right?
Right.
And how many times did that happen before they knocked it off or stopped it?
It happened several times, and then I finally tried telling it to stop, and it said, get out, in a demonic voice.
Okay. So I was going to say, if something is that aggressive and it's touching you to that level, and it's able to push you to that level, then, I wonder what your house is on top of, you know what I mean? Something underneath that ground isn't real happy. Let's put it to you that way. There's only one person I know of who would probably be able to figure it all out for you. And she's on TV and probably there is someone on TV that I'll share with you after the show, who does literally, and I think most of you probably know who I'm talking about. She goes to people's houses where these entities are rather aggressive and mean, and she's able to see where this stuff is coming from. So, but do you think it's calmed down over time, though, since the age of 10?
Yes, it has.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's because she might be scared of me now.
Oh, are you talking about that little girl that may or may not be hanging around?
Yes.
Or her friend that might be a bully that could also be there by chance?
Yes.
Okay. And that's probably good. You're taking the power back, I think. If you take the power back or set up the boundary line, not always will you succeed, but you could potentially hold it at bay. And I know that because I set boundaries all the time around myself and in my home. Doesn't always work. But I think as you get stronger, sometimes these things do have a tendency to get a little weaker, you know. Tell me a little bit about, I've got all kinds of notes here. Let's do a simple one here. Let's talk about the bus ride home the other night or whatnot. What happened on the bus ride home the other night?
I felt my seatbelt being played with by my uncle.
Okay, now are you sure it was your uncle?
Yes, because he likes to play with seatbelts and laugh.
Okay, so one of the things that Laura shared with me, which I think is safe to talk about, is that I can't remember. This is an uncle of yours that used to live in Florida, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and he passed away, right?
Yes, he passed away after I graduated high school.
Okay. And then, but you had kind of a special bond with this guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you first notice that he was kind of hanging around?
I noticed he was hanging around because he would, go inside of my cat or my dog, and I would call my cat or dog's name, and they would not respond. But when I would say Uncle Tom, the dog or cat would look at me and respond.
Oh, that's weird. I mean, I'm saying that in a nice way, you know. But I think that, didn't you think that was a little unusual?
That kind of freaked me out.
I mean, that would freak me out if you called your dog by its name and it responded with somebody else's name, right?
Right. I mean, it does it to this day to my dog. If I were to test it out now, it would probably do the same thing to my dog.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm going to bring in one point here. Because like I said to everyone, this is a very interesting situation and Laura is going through some very interesting things. Animals are very sensitive to the paranormal. We all should know that by now. Is it possible for an animal to become possessed by someone paranormally? The answer to that is yes. Is it possible for an animal to be attacked by somebody paranormally? The answer to that is yes. I've heard of many situations like that. Is it possible for someone from a paranormal nature to take possession of an animal and remain in its body for a long period of time? I don't have the answer to that, but I know that there's other animal paranormal experts out there that would definitely, if you're listening to me and you want to get in touch with me, go to krschutz1@yahoo.com and tell me the answer to that, because I guess the thing here would be a long period of time. How long can something stay in someone's body before it kind of gives up and it doesn't have the strength to remain in it anymore? So how long do you think, if you think this is really true and has happened, how long does this spirit stay in either of your animals? How long?
I believe it stayed in there for a few hours because I had to be sad when I was talking to it.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Oh, and it was paying attention to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It would look right at me, and it would give me the strangest looks.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. And then after, it would kind of snap out of it after a couple hours?
Yes.
Interesting. I find this fascinating. You're probably the first person I've ever talked with who has gone into that type of detail. Now, I can tell you that when my brother's dog passed, that it was visually seen by the 4-year-old, my niece, in human animal-like form, and then it disappeared before her eyes. She was trying to summon the dog. That was a day after it passed away. So there's many things that can occur in the animal world. And there are some people that even feel that they can talk to the animals, literally. There are some psychics out there that feel that they can actually hear what the animal is saying. Now, I don't think that your gift goes that far, right? Or am I wrong on that?
You're right. I'm not able to read my dog's mind.
Okay. And it's probably a good thing, all right? So, you know, nothing wrong there. Now, the thing is you were telling me also, I can't remember, it was your, something with your aunt. I'm not going to say her name on the radio, but you know your aunt. I think it was your aunt, right?
Yes.
What was the occurrence with her? I can't remember.
I was in Florida trying to use the bathroom, and I couldn't get out. So I would say, "Uncle Tom, let me out of the bathroom," several times. I'd turn the doorknob, he wouldn't let me out. Finally, when he gave up, the door just swung open like a gust of wind hit it, and I'm going, "What in the world's going on?" Then my aunt says, "Yeah, Uncle Tom likes to lock me in the bathroom."
Okay, so she was alive, right?
Yeah.
And he
still is alive, so.
And this is something she was even familiar with, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I can vouch for that too, because I have heard and been part of so many bathroom locking in stories. I could write an entire book on it. So I don't know why the paranormal seems to get their amusement out of locking people in a bathroom. I don't know if they're trying to catch their attention. I don't know if they're trying to scare them. Because we all know that once we get into that scared mode and we have fear, that fear is energy that oftentimes paranormal feed off on. I don't think he was doing that to feed off on you. I think he was trying to make himself known. And because another individual also noticed the same thing, that's where I'm getting at on that. So how many times have you been down there? Were you just locked in the bathroom once or what?
It happened to me, I believe, twice almost.
Okay. In the same bathroom?
In two different bathrooms.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. That's what I was getting at. You know, that actually happened to me I was visiting the state fair a couple years ago, and I was actually locked in my stall. And I couldn't get out, and it wasn't a defective lock, but it was so odd that I was stuck in this stall, and my friend, of course, was sitting out waiting for me to come out of the restroom, and there was 1 minute where I was almost going to have to get down on the floor and crawl out from underneath it. Now, it wasn't a defective lock or anything. All of a sudden, the thing just kind of unlatched itself and allowed me out. And I don't know what the connection is with the paranormal in bathrooms, but I just find it to be very, very interesting, you know. Let's see here. What else did we talk about? We talked about a few other things here. Anything you want to jump in on here, Laura, for a moment? I'm sitting here looking at all our notes.
Yeah, there was an occurrence about seeing my uncle in the hallway.
Okay, at your house or some other hallway?
At my house, okay. The hallway by my bedroom.
Okay, and?
And I was 18 at the time.
Okay.
And he decided to show up and start talking to me, and a beam of light shot straight down where I saw nothing but Nike tennis shoes. And it sounded like he was out of breath or was smoking a cigarette.
Okay.
And he basically said, "You're a champion. I love you." And it was his way of saying goodbye.
Okay. But he's been hanging around ever since.
Yeah, which I don't understand why.
Well, he's your uncle, right? And that would be your mother's brother. Is that correct?
That would be my dad's brother.
Your dad's brother. There could be a connection there of comfort or, you know, there's connections in some way. And that's why he's probably still... The other thing is, he may not... How long ago did he pass?
He passed in 2010.
So he's been gone for nearly 8 to 9 years. And he's still hanging around. I wonder if he is either just feeling comfortable being here or just doesn't know how to go into the light or whatnot. The beam of light is an interesting piece you bring up because in the interview I had recently with Diana, who was in my house, she saw a beam of light exactly as you describe, going straight up and down. All right, so unless it was a lightning strike that went through the house and that's what she was seeing, because lightning strikes happen all the time, we just don't see them all the time, I would assume this was not any kind of a lightning strike that happened in the hallway. Am I correct?
Yes, because the weather wasn't raining that day.
Okay, and so she saw this light that went straight up and down. And I thought, how odd. I've never heard of that before. So you are the second person in the last, 2 months that has described something of a beam of light going straight up and down in a person's physical home environment. Very, very interesting. So I guess I should ask, what color did you see when you saw the beam of light?
I saw like a heavenly yellow.
Okay, interesting. So you saw yellow, she saw white. Okay, was it a just a straight line, or was it kind of fuzzy, or what was it?
It was a straight line.
So she described the same thing. All right. Keep in mind, I have not had enough experiences with that yet to be able to figure out what it is, where it comes from, how they do it. I've seen other manifestations in different ways. I've seen mist manifest in front of me and dangle itself and then go through doors and walls and all that. I've seen that, but I haven't seen beams of light yet. So that's something new. Something new to add to the books. So what else have you seen? Anything else lately or...
Well, when I was at Leech Lake a long time ago, there was this horde of dragonflies surrounding my uncle and my aunt.
Okay.
And I had a feeling of, oh boy, is he going to pass away soon? But I didn't want to say anything.
Okay. So...
It was just a gut feeling that he was going to die.
So were you associating this mass amount of... dragonflies around them as part of a death thing, or what were you thinking?
I was thinking it was a sign that it was time for him to go to heaven.
Interesting.
But he didn't believe in God yet, so my dad brought him to the Bible before he passed away, so I'm thinking he's still trying to find his way to heaven.
Interesting. Well, that's probably why he's hanging around. He probably is confused and he's not sure how to get there. So, and I know that you have visits from him periodically, and I know that he likes to make himself known, but he's very friendly. He's not mean or anything. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
The only thing that's really tough about that is when you have one paranormal entity possibly in your house or more, sometimes it has a tendency to attract other entities. Especially those that feel that they're territorial, and they want your home rather than, and they don't want to share your home with anyone. And so the danger, if you want to call it danger, about having any paranormal in your home is that you've just got to make sure that this entity is not attracting others to come also into the home. And that is what happened to me in one of my homes in Indiana. And I will tell you, it started out friendly. It started out very sincere. And then all of a sudden, whatever happened, the portal opened up or whatever happened in there. And next thing you know it turned very possessive and ugly and mean. And I knew I had to get out of there, and I did. But the thing is, even to the last minute that I was getting out of there, it was rebelling, it or they were rebelling against me. And so with your uncle, even though you know that he's in your house, okay, you just be very careful about being too inviting, and you set your boundaries. And if it's time for you to go to bed or whatever, you tell him, I'm going to bed, goodbye, good night, and close up the boundary and tell him to do the same. Because again, you just don't want him attracting or bringing back into your house more than one entity. So that's the danger of having, you know, there used to be a show on a long time ago. I can't remember what it was called, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir or Miller or something like that. And it was, they portrayed him as being a very friendly ghost, but sometimes friendly ghosts, you know, can wreak a little havoc on us. Well, I can't even believe we got, you know, the thing is we're already at time. This is what's interesting here. I've got just a few minutes left, and then we have a show for the evening, Laura. So, Laura, is there anything else that you want to add or say? We've got about 3 minutes left, and to our audience about any of your experiences or how you feel you're managing your gifts or your visions or anything like that.
Yes, actually, last night I received a kiss on my left cheek as a sign of good night.
Okay, and who do you think gave that to you?
My uncle.
Okay, and did you tell him thank you and good night?
Actually, no, because I was trying to ignore him so I could sleep.
Okay, and then did he go away after that?
Then he started scratching my back, and then eventually he left.
Okay. Sometimes when you're really gifted and you're very sensitive and an empath, I would assume that you feel emotion very deeply from people from just talking with you. And this is what also triggers some of your visions too, is the fact that you feel and sense people's emotions. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. When the paranormal knows that we know and can sense their being there, they will oftentimes try to show themselves in ways to let us know that they're around. May it even be in your dog and cat, you know, your poor doggy and cat. Nothing wrong with that, but, you know, I can't imagine a spirit wanting to sit in a dog and cat very long. And, you know, just doing other things. I mean, the whole idea is that a friendly ghost isn't really out to scare or hurt. They're just there to let you know that they're still hanging around. But then when you have a friendly ghost and all of a sudden it could attract other entities. And again, I'm very fascinated with where your house is built on top of, because you have absolutely no idea what's probably they built it on top of. You know what I mean? So the thing is you might even have some kind of a portal underneath you. And at times with the right activation, you know, you might notice things a little bit more. But for you with your gift, you really need to set your boundaries, put that block in front of you, make your intentions known that it's sleep time and that's what it is. Be always very friendly and gracious. Thank them for visiting and that they need to depart so you can get your rest or whatever. And then hopefully it ends there for a while. But keep us in touch, or keep me in touch when you have experiences, Laura. It sounds to me like you've got a gift that you just need to put some boundaries. And it sounds like you've been using your boundaries. So have you been better at using your boundaries?
I actually don't know how to use my boundaries.
Basically, in a nutshell, you visualize white light being formed around you. You visualize a block or a boundary right in front of you as if it's a big square, okay? And basically you state your intention that you are not to be bothered or bothered by anyone, and you try to tune it out and shut it off as best as you can. I'm not an expert in this. Anyone out there who might be a better expert and how she could probably block herself, please write me at krschutz1@yahoo.com. For myself, I just basically state my boundary. This is my boundary. I am not going to be bothered. Here's the white light. You will protect me. Dot, dot, dot. And essentially, I'm left alone for the most part, but I can't say that it holds all the time. So practice the white light and just stating your boundary intentions and see where that takes you for a while, huh? So,
okay.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show this evening. Very interesting stuff I haven't heard before, but yet very interesting, and yet stuff that I could also relate to too. And many people can relate to that. And we wish you, of course, Laura, the best, and protect yourself to the best of your ability that you can. And just remember, visualize putting a block in front of you and saying, not tonight. I need to be left alone tonight. White light yourself, and hopefully that'll do it for at least a little bit. Take care, Laura. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, and we'll talk to you again. And that ends and concludes Paranormal Encounters podcast series for tonight. And this also ends us for the year. Come back again in January of 2019, where we will have some new shows and new guests. And again, thank you so very much for listening. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.